ya lo hace, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Friday, April 26, 2019. It's an historical weekend in the world of North American soccer, especially Canadian soccer. But first of all, how you doing, Dwayne?
I'm doing well. Got my ride arranged for tomorrow morning. Got it all set up. Going to be a big sports day for me. I got Campiel, obviously, which is the primary focus of the day. But there's also a little thing called the Raptors playoff game in the evening. And we got TFC squeezed in there somewhere, too.
Yeah, no, big day. Sunday, the Montreal Impact plays their second game at home. And I'll be at the stadium for the first time this year. So that'll be fun. But, yeah, Canadian Premier League starts this weekend. And before we start looking at the preview of the weekend and looking which games we're going to take a look at in both Canadian Premier League and MLS, One Soccer just announced their pricing this morning. So for Canadian Premier League fans and for fans of soccer that want to watch Canadian soccer across the world, Dwayne, here are the pricing for One Soccer. We thought it was going to be free for a while. I guess not. I guess you get a 1 month free trial while you when you sign up, and after that it becomes $9.99 a month or $74.99 for the year. If you are a Canadian Premier League season ticket holder, it becomes $49.99 for the entire year worth of soccer, 98 games to be precise for the Canadian Premier League. And on top of it, Dwayne, you have the opportunity to have a $5.99 24-hour pass. And if you just want to watch one game, I guess, or one day, it's a $5.99. So those are the pricing for One Soccer with, of course, the one free month when you subscribe.
Yeah, which is pretty common in that model nowadays. It's the same model as you get with Netflix or Hulu or Crave or Crave's the Canadian equivalent of where you get HBO in this country. So a lot of people have that 1 month free right now for some reason that maybe is on Sunday nights.
So something about to do with Thrones, but it's but it's not anything to do with the renovations of bathrooms.
Yes, precisely. Little secret, I watch Game of Thrones, but I think I'm just doing never it out of habit it. Now, to be completely frank with you.
I've never watched it. Dwayne, I'm holding out on three things. Holding out on Game of Thrones, holding out on Harry Potter, and holding out on Lord of the Rings. Haven't seen any of them.
I've seen the first Lord of the Rings. My ex loved Harry Potter, so I endured that. And the one that really gets people, the people, when I tell them this, they don't believe it, is I have never from start to finish seen the movie Titanic.
Well, Dwayne, spoiler alert, the boat sinks.
No, I have actually seen the sinking scene, but that was a point of pride because you might be a little too young to remember how omnipresent. No. Oh my God!
I was like 12 in '98, and I was 14 in '98. I know exactly what Titanic did to the world.
Oh yeah, and I got to the point like I'm sure it's a fine movie, but I was like my contrary nature. I was like, screw this, I'm not watching it because everyone else is. I did see Avatar though.
Avatar took me like a year. I was like, okay, fine, I'll go, I'll see it. Yeah. Anyways, where were we? Yeah, One Soccer, one month free. It all started because of Hulu. I'm tired, I have to say. I've seen Avengers last night, so, and it wasn't the early showing. And it's a long movie, so I made it to the show today. I'm just happy I made it. One Soccer. So which subscription will you take?
I will go monthly. I always go monthly because I...
You can skip a month if you want. You can just be like, okay, bye-bye.
Yeah. Well, I have multiple email addresses too, huh? I believe in paying for content.
Okay.
I, as people know, have all of the subscriptions. So I pay more than I do now that I cut the cord. It costs me more money now than it did when I had cable. So there you go.
So how do you think? What do you think about that move now? Cord cutting, but paying more subscription to every other service possible. But that's one thing, though. And it will be interesting. But what Dwayne just mentioned, if you have multiple email addresses and you sign up multiple times, you might get the free month. Yeah, we're not advocating and we're not condoning that move, but got to do what you got to do in life.
Yeah, content isn't produced free. And look, if you're a supporter of the league, I get it that not everyone can afford, like, if, you know, I spoil myself. I have $20 paying for HBO year round. I like a lot of their programming, not just the show that we mentioned there a moment ago. So I have it year round. I pay $20 a month for that, and I pay $20 a month for soccer on DAZN. So, you know, that's $40 right there. But adding another 10 to it is not ideal, but I'll do it.
Yeah, no, of course. And we'll obviously do it this weekend. But tomorrow at 1 p.m. on CBC, and there's going to be replays. There's a replay late tomorrow night after a hockey game. So, you know, I like that. And that's important to use CBC and the fact that they're streaming the game tomorrow to raise awareness of the league. And York 9 Forge FC will be the first game in the Canadian Premier League tomorrow at 1 p.m. on CBC. But Dwayne, before we continue to take a look at all of that, there was as well just another little thing of note that we wanted to touch on, and it's had to do with Wednesday's game, the Montreal Impact. Their 3-0 victory versus the New England Revolution, first win since 2015 in Foxborough for the Impact. And there was a lot of games midweek, and we might touch on them in a second. But Dwayne, the travel problem, we've talked about it Wednesday on the show because of the flight, the chartered flights, and the lack thereof for the entire season. Montreal's flight not only was canceled on Tuesday, but it was delayed on Wednesday morning. Instead of leaving at 10, they left at 12. They got to Foxborough at around 2 p.m. in the afternoon. The game was early in the evening. At the end of the day, Montreal got the victory, and there's no harm, no foul. But the MLS Players Association, MLS Players Union, to be precise, and the Vancouver Whitecaps as well, both expressed some concerns on travels.
Yeah, look, I mean, the fact that the Impact got the win does not disvalue the point that anyone's trying to make here. I mean, first off, they're playing New England, who we all know is struggling this year. And, you know, jokes aside, that's an easier touch. And but the thing is, it was what, like, Boston to Montreal is an hour in the air? Like,
yeah,
it's not
like,
a long flight.
It's barely an hour and a half.
Yeah, so it's, you know, by the time you're probably taxiing as much as you're in the air. It's like flying Toronto to Ottawa. It's like you're up and they're throwing peanuts at you as soon as you go in the air because you're descending already. It is a funny flight. If you've ever done Toronto to Ottawa, it's hilarious because they literally go up and go, peanuts, 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 and then you go down. Anyway, the show's getting off the rails. It must be Friday. Look, the point I'm making here
I'll
is
I'll take some
that,
peanuts, by the way.
Yeah, I do like peanuts. The thing is that it does matter, though, because had they been, say, the Impact were playing LAFC instead, or the Galaxy, or whoever, Portland, it doesn't matter. They probably would have to cancel that game, or postpone it, I should say, because they wouldn't have been able to get there in time for the game. And there would have been a complete, you know, absurdity of a disadvantage if they couldn't get out to noon to fly 5 hours, jump off the plane, get in a bus, and rush to the, you know, you're getting changed in the bus, like you're a minor soccer team, right? Like, that's kind of what you would have been looking at. So this is not a factor on this one game. It's an ongoing issue. And a couple million dollars a year for each of these teams, they're charging. How much is Sacramento going to pay to come in? $200 million or something?
So Sacramento can be the official supplier of airfare for every team with their expansion fee money.
Seriously?
Like, no, but I'm barely joking. Like, it'll probably cost as much. Like, flying coach is not cheap at all. And you do get a discount when you get your own plane and you do it for the entire season. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and look, there's a lot of the, like, you're not going to fly to, like, the, you know, NYCFC Red Bulls. You're not going to fly there. They're probably not flying to Philadelphia. They're probably not even flying to Washington. There's other ways to get there. Trains. I mean, I know that TFC has in the past, now that Porter Airlines, before Porter's came in and started to serve the Island Airport, they used to take Via to Montreal sometimes.
To Montreal. And, well, the CFL still does it a lot. Like, CFL still uses Via for Montreal Ottawa trips, Montreal Toronto trips. There's a famous train of the fans once a year. But no, yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, it just because it was easier to do that. So there's ways that they're not going to be chartering every flight everywhere. But when you're going LA to New York, or, you know, Boston to, what would the longest trip probably be? I suspect it would be something like Columbus to Portland would be your most difficult road trip you would do in MLS because of just the nature of the airports, right?
That's
so
true.
Something like that, yeah, you have the ability to fly straight there makes a big, big difference. I know, you know, to use the example I know of, TFC generally uses its charters, that they're allowed to have, not for the longest trips, but for the trips that have the most exchanges. Like Columbus is a tough one to get to because who the hell flies into Columbus?
Yeah,
like it's just not a destination.
It's almost easier to drive there from Toronto.
Well, it is for fans. Fans never fly. It costs to fly to Paris. Yeah, it's cheaper for me to fly to Paris than it is, because I know this, because I just bought a ticket.
Yeah.
It was $680 to fly to Paris. I think it would cost me about the same to fly to Columbus, if not a little more. So,
it cost me a grand to fly a round trip to Halifax last year.
Yeah.
You're telling me I could have gone to Paris? Jeez, yeah. I would have known that. Like, hi, in-laws. Yeah, we're just flying over you. We're going to see the Eiffel Tower.
I'm going to go wave out the window. Yeah, no.
You're telling me I could have seen Notre Dame? Before the fire? Like, come on.
Trust me, I had bought the ticket to go to Paris, and I had never been to Paris. I've been to England, I've been to Spain, I've been to a few other places in Europe, but I'd never been to France before, so I was like, oh, I'm going to do this, and I'm looking at all the guidebooks and all that, and 2 days after I bought the plane ticket, one of the most famous landmarks burns down. So I'm going to make this all about me for a second, but yeah, that was kind of disappointing.
It is Friday, we're tired. It's been a long week. It's been a rough week. But, all right, so Canadian Premier League, Forge FC, and York 9 tomorrow on CBC. My DVR is already programmed, and the other game is Sunday, Pacific FC at home, West Hill Stadium, a sold-out West Hill Stadium versus the Halifax Wanderers. Both on OneSoccer. Tomorrow is on CBC.ca. But, Dwayne, we did a preview of the Canadian Premier League Season 1 yesterday. But we were talking so much, we ran out of time. And we forgot to preview what would be our MVC, Most Valuable Canadian, and the MVI, Most Valuable International, I guess. So just to wrap up our Canadian Premier League coverage this week, take your shot. Take your crap shot. Who's going to be the MVC and MVP?
I haven't. I pulled up my sheet from yesterday here now, and I have three names that I wrote down. The best Canadian in the league, I'm going to go a little outside the box. Everyone is going to say Kyle Becker or Porter or Tabor, right? Like, people are going to say that. I'm going to go a little outside the box and say Winnipeg defender Skylar Thomas will be the most valuable Canadian. And I'm basing this on the fact that we all know the national team's well-known deficit, I think that a defender will be the first Canadian Premier League team to really get a true shot for the national team. And I'm going to go with Skylar Thomas, who was a very well thought of prospect coming out of Syracuse, didn't really get a chance for TFC, now has a revitalization of his career out in Winnipeg for Valor. I think that he has a chance to be that. You know, I'm being a little cute with this because I do think it'll probably be someone like Kyle Becker that would legitimately win this award if they have one, which I assume they will because it's the North American League. That I'm going to go a little outside the box there. Same with the MVP. I'm hearing a lot about this Cisse guy that's holding midfielder for Hamilton, that they Senegalese international coming in, and I've heard a lot of good things about him. I think he's going to be the glue that holds together an otherwise attacking Hamilton Forge team. So I know they hate when I call it the Hamilton Forge, but I refuse
it. It's a team in Hamilton. Hamilton Forge, I'm saying.
Exactly. I work in marketing, but ironically, I will not bow to the interests of marketers ever.
Dwayne, we're independent. We don't have to.
Exactly. They're the Forge. I bet people hate that one, too.
If we want to, I can say the Hamilton Canadian Premier League soccer team. Like, I'm allowed because that's what it is.
I'm going to give a third name out this, and this is I wrote it down as player you've not heard of yet. That will become well known, and
so you wrote half the league then.
Well, yeah, but I'm sorry, it jumps out.
Yeah,
no. I'm gonna go with and I'll butcher his French pronunciation, so I'm gonna anglify this a little bit. But you will know him from the Impact, where he tore it up for the Impact Academy, and that's Lemay.
Vincent Lemay with Halifax.
Yeah, exactly. He's a young guy that scored a lot of goals at the amateur level, and I think that maybe there's a real chance on a team that I think is. A little thin for him to get some significant playing time. And if he can replicate anything close to what he did at the development level, I think that Lemay will be a little shining star for this team. And I think I wrote an article about this a while ago. One of the interesting storylines to this, Kevin, I'll let you jump in with yours after this. After the interesting storylines of the Canadian Premier League this year, for me, will be what under 23 players in this league stand out, because the Olympic qualifying is at the end of the season. And I think that the Olympic qualifying team will be very heavily made up of Canadian Premier League players. So that's a really interesting storyline to watch if you're interested in the national team side of things.
That's true. That's true. And we might maybe see the first Canadian Premier League player playing for the national team program come from the U23 this year. So that could be fascinating too. Now, my MVC and MVP, you say no Cal Becker because it's going to be easy, and it's, I agree, but I'm not looking really far from Cal Becker. I'm looking literally next to him. I'm looking to a Montreal Impact Academy product, another one. This one has a brother that's actually playing really well with the Montreal Impact right now, but he is the older brother. He's David Chouinard, playing for Forge FC, and he's going to show the people why he was considered an amazing prospect 3 years ago. He had a lot of injury problems over the last 3 years, but I think he's going to Hamilton with a chip on his shoulder and ready to show that he needs to play and that he's able to play and that he can dominate this league. I'm telling you right now, David Chouinard might be Forge FC's golden boot out of nowhere.
Yeah, well, let's hope. Yeah, this is what I'm most excited about, too. I mean, I've seen a lot of these guys more than most because I worked in League One, but you're still at this level. It's going to be fascinating to see who can step up and live up to the hype. And it's fascinating for guys like Becker, too. Like, it is an easy choice to pick him as MVP, and I think a lot of people will, as I said. But he's a guy that, you know, kind of went out of sight, out of mind for a few years, right? And can he, you know, did he really grow when he was playing in the USL? Was that a stepping stone back to a national team program? A lot of great storylines in this league in an initial year.
And I don't have like a most valuable international, but I do have a story and a player that I think is going to turn a lot of heads this year. And that's Kodai Iida from Halifax Wanderers, a player from Japan that appeared out of nowhere in Laval for the tryouts, and impressed everyone. And then they started talking to him like, yeah, when did you get here? My plane landed this morning. I came straight from the airport to the field with my suitcase, and I'm here to practice. Like, what? You just flew 17 hours to do the trials? Yeah, that's the dedication that I love. And that story, Kodai Iida with the Halifax Wanderers, I think is going to be an impressive one, and I think he's going to be good too.
Yeah, and look, there weren't a lot of guys that came out of the trial, which we recognized even at the time was more of a marketing exercise than anything else.
There's like over 10, though. There's way more than I thought, though.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, a significant amount. I mean, it was the player you just mentioned is one of the few out there that were a complete discovery at the trial, is what I'll say. Some of the players that stuck were known and were on the database already, just they were maybe near the bottom of it and they wanted to impress. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how many of those truly stick for a long period of time. And the internationals, you know, something I've said a lot too, everyone's focused on the Canadian side of things, as they should be. The six players starting, and they have to be 50% of the roster. These are all great rules that I completely support. But I do also believe very strongly that the international players have the possibility to have a real big impact on Canadian soccer here. Not necessarily as naturalized players, because that's far-fetched, to say the least, that we'll ever naturalize a guy and have him on a national team here.
But what do you mean? Go ahead.
So it might happen once in every decade or so, but it's not the main purpose. But they can impact the game in other ways, Kevin.
Yeah, well, what I have in my head while you were talking is a player coming out. Let's use a Brazilian aspect because it's romantic, I guess. So the Brazil players come to your city. He only has a first name, and he's superb to watch, and he has some attacking flair, and he scores every game, and there's a young kid who's going to be on the sideline who's going to become a lifelong soccer fan. Because of that player, and that kid might become a soccer player because of that international that surprised him when he went to his local soccer game.
You know, absolutely. I mean, look, to use a TFC example, Danny Dicchio, a journeyman guy that, you know, was known, is still known in England, especially in Sutherland, but but they came over here and became a star and really inspired, you know, a generation of players. Like, you think, you know, obviously Jonathan Rosario comes from a soccer background, but he's a kid that was in the stands in 2007 watching Denny Dicchio play, and now he plays for the same club that he did, right? And succeeded what he ever did in MLS, let's be frank. So, you know, there's that inspiration thing. Yeah, I mean, Dicchio was a poacher, and he had moments, but for sure, you know, kind of hero that is created is really valuable. If you want to listen to our full breakdown of the predictions yesterday, folks, you can go to what we put it as a preview. So it is on our main feed. $2 a month or more will get you regular coverage of the Canadian Premier League on patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. But really quickly, I believe if you look at our picks, Kevin, our consensus pick for champion would have been Hamilton. You had him first, I had him second. Our consensus pick for Wooden Spoon was Pacific. We both had them seven.
And geez, did we hear about it on social media. Hi, guys. Hi, everyone in Victoria. We love you. It was
Someone's
fun.
Someone's got to finish last. Yeah. I picked Calgary to win for my team, and Kevin had them much lower. So that was maybe the team that we dissented the most on. So if you want to listen to the rest of the breakdown, go to yesterday's show.
And then another thing about this leg that is awesome is, like, we did predictions yesterday. We tweet out our predictions, and then players from Cavalry retweets it because, like, yeah, we're going to win. I was like, yeah, this is fun. This is going to be a hoot.
Yes. I was funny today. John Molinaro has a good interview he put out. You can find his feed for that. I retweeted it as well. He talks to all of the seven coaches, and they're talking about what style they want to play. And I always find this hilarious when you're doing coaches' style and what you're going to look like on the field in the first year. They all say the same damn thing. Oh, we want to play attacking and possession-based.
Oh, yeah, possession-based. You know, I'm inspired by Barcelona. I've been looking at them for years. Yeah.
Yes. The exception kind of was Pacific, and he was very tight-lipped. We've talked about this internally. I don't want to tell you. I think Pacific's going to be very direct. There's my prediction right there.
Could you be more direct than Route 1? Like, is there Route 0? Because that's Pacific.
They built a team around the idea of having speed on the wings and a big target man in the middle. Of course they're going to play direct.
Right. So I'm a defender. Okay, my strategy, boot it to Marcus. That's your strategy? Find Marcus Haber. Give him the ball. Did Marcus score? No. Give him the ball again. Did he score? Yes. Okay, kickoff.
And there's no such thing as bad tactics. There are only bad execution of tactics. So that is what I'll say to everyone who wants to bash Route 1. It can work, and it will especially work in a league like this where athleticism will play a role in the first couple of years.
You know what I love in the world of soccer? Like, tactics have different name from where they are. Route 1 is a classic one because a Route 1 is a direct route, so it's like the ideology. But if you go to Norway or Sweden, their name for that tactic is not Route 1. But it's easy to understand, even though it's a foreign language. It's called long ball in. Yeah, long ball in. Like, okay, long ball in. That's what it is.
I personally like the evolution of parking the bus to a low block. It sounds much classier when you call it a low block.
Yeah, parking the bus seems not that great. All right, let's take a look at the games on Wednesday. So those games happened last Wednesday, Major League Soccer. There was 5 games. New York beat Chicago 1-0. New England lost 3-0 to Montreal at home. Columbus lost at home. DC United top of the East with a 1-0 win versus the Crew. Minnesota Galaxy 0-0. Hey, we called it. We said there's going to be goals. This is going to be amazing. Watch it be a 0-0. It was. And Seattle 2, San Jose 2. I guess San Jose didn't get the memo of them being the Wooden Spoon favorite.
Yeah, well, so the people that did Vancouver that yelled at me for picking the San Jose to finish above them aren't yelling as much anymore, but
they're yelling really, really quietly.
Yeah, a lot going on in Vancouver that we'll continue to follow, obviously, but not all of it's very good. It's like the chaos in this country has to move around occasionally, and now it's the West Coast time to have chaos, so we'll keep following the Whitecaps. I think that what DeSantos is doing is fine, but what's happening around
everything,
that team in the front
everything
office,
else they, though like yeah. Literally everything else, but no.
Precisely. No, San Jose, as we said this on, I think it was Wednesday's show, when we were previewing these games, they're figuring their tactics out. And tactics is this, you know, the story of the show today. It's a different tactic. We saw in the CCL last year with Chivas and how they were by no means the best team in that competition. In fact, they might have been fifth or sixth best team in that competition. Certainly nowhere near what we're used to seeing out of Liga MX, but they won the damn thing because they confused the hell out of teams, especially, you know, TFC in that first leg after rolling over America and Tigres, they two powerhouses. They run into like this plucky little Chivas team. You know, great history, but not so much great recent. And confused the hell out of them. They were badly outplayed for the first half of that game, and they paid for it, right? And that's why, you know, more than missing sitters in the second leg, which was a year ago yesterday, by the way. Which was also a year ago yesterday that the Toronto Maple Leafs lost for the second time to the Boston Bruins to get our hockey reference in for the show.
Yeah, this week but it's a yearly tradition now.
Whatever.
Oh yeah, exactly.
I don't have to watch any more hockey this year. I'm happy with that.
Yeah,
I'll
hockey's
watch final,
done.
Maybe.
Hockey, or not. Here are the games in Major League Soccer for tomorrow to finish the show today. New York City FC Orlando tomorrow at 1. Toronto Portland at 3 p.m. tomorrow in Toronto. FC Dallas San Jose in Dallas, well, in Frisco. It's not Dallas. At 3:30 p.m. Vancouver at home versus Philly at 5 p.m. Atlanta, Colorado. New York FC Cincinnati. That was interesting. Because if I'm FC Cincinnati, I'm going into Red Bull Arena with confidence. The Red Bulls are terrible. They're ripe for the picking. So FC Cincinnati, why not? Houston Dynamo Columbus and Sporting Kansas City New England. Those are the games on Saturday. And two games Sunday, Dwayne. Montreal, Chicago. Four games, sorry. Minnesota DC, Seattle LAFC, and the Galaxy and Salt Lake. This year so far, Dwayne, I have made a habit of trying to watch LAFC's game, and I do not regret it at all. They're entertaining, and Carlos Vela is good at soccer.
He is. They have it going on both sides of the ball, and you know the key to that player. And he got some shoutouts on extra time this week. Is Mark Anthony Kay to me is their most underrated player, the player that glues that team together. And he's a guy that I think just 2 years ago people would have been penciling into Canadian Premier League rosters, right? And now he's starring for the best team in Major League Soccer off the first third of the season. So good story there. And obviously it's they call it whatever your league pass team, to use a basketball term, the team that you have to watch, even though they're not yours. LAFC is a good choice there. Although I would actually nominate the local team, Ryan, as a good choice to watch too, for both good and bad reasons. They're hella entertaining. They can't defend to save their lives, but they can score. So that's kind of fun. It'll be interesting, the battle I'll be watching. I, of course, will not be at the TFC game this weekend because it's in contrast. Well, it's 2 hours after the start of the Canadian Premier League's first ever game, and I'm, you know, having first reported on the Canadian Premier League, which didn't even have a name in 2014, and been called an idiot and a liar for 2 years for it, I'd be damned if I'm not going to the first game.
Yeah, for sure.
And I was also the first person to use hashtag CanPL, too. I'd like to claim that one. I created a hashtag.
Do you have a trophy for that? Are you going to get a trophy? Or like a medal? Yeah. Or at least dinner?
Yeah. Someone who lives on Twitter like me, you know, that's my claim to fame now, is I created a hashtag, although I can't prove it other than to go back and look for the first reference of it, I suppose.
The day you put this in your bio, I'll be impressed. You know, some people say followed by their own bio. Dwayne's going to be like creator of the CanPL hashtag.
Well, it just made sense. It's the style of everything Canadian does. It's always canned whatever. Canned men's national team. Canned, right? So it just made sense. But nonetheless, the battle I'll be watching for beyond watching the first game, and I will, of course, watch TFC on the TVs after the Forge game is over, the Forge New York 9 game is over, is how many people show up in the crowd. Hamilton, for those that don't know, distributed 25,000 tickets for this inaugural match. Now, the key word there, Kevin, is distributed. They did not charge
sold.
For them. You could have claimed up to 17 tickets per person. So I'm a little concerned about that strategy. I've never seen it work long term. I will be very happy if they can get more than 10,000 out in that game. But
here's a marketing advice for everyone out there with a business. If you give out something free that is supposed to be sold, the persons who takes it for free associates the value of that thing with free and will never come back if it's not free. So yeah, there it is. If you make someone pay for it, they'll feel like they have a certain amount of obligation to respect their part of that deal. And if you're part of a deal with a ticket sold, if you pay for it, you're going to show up. If you're just giving it to, if you just got 17 free tickets and tomorrow it's a bit cold and rainy, guess what? You might decide to stay home because you don't feel an obligation because you didn't pay. You didn't work. You didn't contribute to get those tickets.
Yeah, look, I'm going to give some credit to the Impact here for a second. When I was at the CCL final game, they did not give the tickets away for free to load up the Big O. They charged a nominal amount for them, and I think that that's, you know, that and the importance of the game. But that was a big reason why, you know, people didn't just grab 20 tickets and then use 10, right? They went because you had to pay. It was $10 you had to pay or something, and that was a perfectly acceptable way to fill that stadium up. And I think that, you know, if I was advising Bob Young, and I'd probably have a better paycheck, but if I were advising Bob Young, I would have told him to charge something like $5 or $10 for it. But yeah, at least you're not having someone go in and claim 20 tickets when they know that they only have really need six. And I think that's the problem here. Like, I think everyone that claimed the tickets, I think someone from that group will go. But will they give them all away? Because I would have done the same thing if I lived in Hamilton. I would have just grabbed all the tickets they would have given me and said, okay, well, I have all these tickets. Who needs them?
Yeah. And then right? You put it on your Facebook. You create a Facebook event. Who's going to come with me? I have all those tickets. Come join me. And everyone's like, yeah, I'll go. And no one shows up. Every Facebook event.
Oh, I forgot or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know I had a wedding that day. It was my own wedding. I forgot.
Yeah. I did a poll this morning just for GTA area fans to see which game they'd be choosing to go to if they were going to either. And I'll just give you the results real quick for what they're worth. Although I think these are interesting because, of course, the people that respond to a poll that I put out on my Twitter feed are pretty engaged soccer fans generally. So 45% of the people, there's 272 votes at the moment, 45% of the respondents have said that they are choosing to go to TFC's game. 29% saying they're going to the CPL game, and 19% said that they are going to watch both on TV.
And not going 7%, anywhere.
Yeah, 7% apparently follow me for like unhinged Raptors takes or something because they're not going to either game. that is, if you live in the GTA and you follow me, why? But anyway,
Dwayne and his unrational Raptors love.
I guess the only thing I can think of is they're probably just Leafs or Raptors fans or Capitals fans maybe. But I specifically, or they're just people trying to screw my poll up. We'll
yeah,
see.
That's their own goal. Like, that's their goal. They're like, okay, my end game is to just skew his goal, his polls on his Twitter.
I do think it's interesting, though, that 50%, about 50% of my respondents, again, are saying they're, you know, distinguishing they're going to go to TFC still, because that is a challenge for this league.
Well, not just it's your community. So, right? It's more than a game. It becomes a community. And you almost feel obligated to go because you need to be part of your own.
And I'm not happy that I'm missing the game. I'm not. You know, as you say, it's a group that I go to I've been going to for 12 years, and to just completely cast that aside because a new league starts is not realistic for a lot of people. I'm sure that if you're in Hamilton, if you're a Hamilton soccer person, even they're probably a little torn if they're a longtime TFC season ticket holder, but it's probably a little easier for them to choose to stay out there, especially if you're in the West End, because it's just going to be an easier commute for you. But it's going to take years. And maybe it never happens that you have a distinction between these teams because they won't be in the same league anytime soon. And maybe they play each other once in a while. And on those days, yeah, you have to make a choice on those days, but you don't really otherwise. And, you know, I will be attending, I don't know how many Forge games I'll get to. It is not easy. I don't have a car currently, so it's not really easy for me to get to Hamilton. But the York Knight games, for sure I will be going to them. But will I be going to them if they cross with a TFC game? I don't know. And that's an honest answer to that. But I will try to support all of these leagues and League One Ontario the best that I can, and that's all that anyone should be expected to do, Kevin.
Support soccer. Support whichever soccer you like. That's my editorial here. It's just like the sport. Be like everyone else. We love this sport. We hope you enjoyed our special week this week and our special coverage of the Canadian Premier League. Next week, we're back behind the paywall for the regular edition of the Two Saw Two Soccer podcast. Soccer Today will be, of course, live Monday to Friday, except Thursday is where we do the Tucson Dude Soccer podcast. But if you like what we did this week and you like to hear Dwayne and I cover Canadian Premier League, make sure you go to patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. $2 a month goes a long way for us. With the over 100, even more than 100 patrons that are supporting us and giving us their trust and their money every month to be able to get better equipment, get the right subscriptions for the right hosting, the bandwidth, and every equipment necessary to do what we do at a high level. We do appreciate your help a lot, and it's because of every single one of you who take the pledge at patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork that we can do what we do at the level that we do so. You can follow Dwayne on Twitter at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Laramie. We'll be back Monday with the weekend review. But until then, for Dwayne, I'm Kevin. Have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.